محمد الهادي البشير قد جاءنا حق النذير.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Today's topic is a character trait called chivalry. In Arabic, the word for chivalry is futuwa. Futuwa, or chivalry, it's the quintessential ancient Arabian trait that made the ancient Arabians the great people that they were. And the ancient Arabians, they have a character trait called karam. It's sometimes also called muru'a. Muru'a is karam, muru'a, futuwa. It's a trait where the person, he gives and he doesn't take. And when people harm him, he responds with a smile, and he responds by giving them good, by responding to harm with goodness. And it's somebody who doesn't remind other people of the favors that they've done to them. It's somebody who patiently bears with the harm that other people do to them. It's a trait that comprises many, many different characteristics. And it's associated with manhood. So this is what a man is supposed to be like. There's many definitions of the trait of futuwa. One definition is, they say, al-futuwa al-ihsanu ila al-khalq wa kaffu al-adha anhum بَلْ إِحْتِمَالُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنْهُمْ. So futuwa is to give, to be good and excellent and kind to other people, to give them your time, to spend your money on them, to help them out when they are in need, and to do this. And when one does this, it results in people not responding in kind. It results in people not repaying the good that one's done to them. It results in people often harming one, insulting one, and that might drive one to respond in kind or to withhold one's kindness to them. But futuwa is that one has ihsan to all people, and one restrains one's harm from them. There's no harm that comes from one to other people. One is a source of benefit, not a source of harm. And not only does one not harm other people, but one absorbs the harm that they show to one. The trait of futuwa, it comprises many different traits. So they say that it includes the trait of tawadu, of humility. It includes the trait of karam, of generosity. It includes the trait of shaja'a, of bravery. It includes the trait of wafa, of loyalty to other people. And it includes the trait of insaf, which means being fair and admitting one's faults when one is wrong, admitting one's mistakes when one is wrong. It's difficult to describe it in words, but it comes out strongly in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right from the beginning, the first revelation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he received it and he came to Sayyida Khadija, and he said that I fear for myself that I may not be able to bear this great responsibility. He said, khashitu ala nafsi. And Sayyida Khadija, she said, kalla innaka la tasilu ar-rahima wa She said that you keep your ties of kinship with your relatives. This includes cousins, uncles, aunts, distant cousins, the people around one. And keeping ties of kinship, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, he said, "Laysa al-wasilu bil mukafi'." He said that the person who keeps their ties of kinship is not somebody who treats other people well when they treat them well, but he's somebody who, when other people cut them off and they're rude to them, then he treats them well. So when she's saying that you treat, keep your ties of kinship, this is what she means. And she says that you are hospitable to your guests. That means that anyone can walk in and you will give them a place to stay. You will give them food to eat. You will welcome them. And you help people who are in need. People who are in need, you help them. You bear their problems. You spend on them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before he became a prophet, he had this character trait of futuwa, which is giving and loving to give and taking pleasure in giving and deeming it dishonorable to be somebody who is greedy, who is stingy, who takes advantage of other people for their own selfish interests. So this trait, deeming this thing dishonorable and giving and taking pleasure in giving and responding to harm with giving, this trait is called futuwa, and we've translated it as chivalry. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his entire life was a life of futuwa. This is who he was, and this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he raised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst the Arabians. And the Arabians, all of the Sahaba, they had this trait. Even those people who didn't believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had this trait. Abu Talib had this trait. Al-Mut'im ibn Adi had this trait. These were people who didn't become Muslim, but they had this trait of helping other people and seeing somebody who's wrong, seeing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is right and other people are wrong, even if I don't believe in them, to help them. So I thought that what I would do, and since it's the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the month of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's also the month of the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if we go through the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very briefly, we find this trait of futuwa, various aspects of it, throughout the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I just wanted to highlight those to illustrate this trait. رأيت سيدي أن في هجرته صلى الله عليه وسلم عدة مواقف تدل على هذا الخلق فأحبب في هذا الشهر حصل So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the first thing is that stands out is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر أصحابه بالهجرة أولا وكان آخرهم هجرة. So he told all of his companions to make the hijrah first. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is somebody who, he is the one who the Arabians, they want to persecute. He is the one who they want to kill. He's just been the reason for the blockade for 3 years. And Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib have starved. He's gone to Ta'if, they've thrown stones at him. He's coming back into Mecca and they don't let him in without the protection of Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. And he is persecuted and he is in danger. And he does, the Ansar, they come, they invite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say, we'll protect you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commanded his companions to make hijrah. And he was the last one to make hijrah. He told Sayyidina Abu Bakr to wait, and he made hijrah with him. And Sayyidina Ali, he told him to wait, and in that too there is a lesson. But he told all of his companions who could make hijrah, some of them couldn't because they were persecuted and trapped and imprisoned, but he sent all of them off first, because it's not from futuwa that he should flee and leave behind. The people who have believed in him, who followed him, who've supported him. It's from futuwa that you help other people and you place the needs of other people before your own needs. And in doing so, he was endangering his life. And that comes out because when everybody was gone, then what did the polytheists do? They tried to kill him. They tried to kill him, and they tried to kill him after all of his followers are gone. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited for all of them to leave. This is futuwa, because it shows that he has no selfish interests and he places the interests of other people before the interests of himself. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told Sayyidina Ali, Amara Sayyidina Ali, and yanama fi firashihi, and he told Sayyidina Ali to sleep in his bed. And this shows futuwa from Sayyidina Ali, because Sayyidina Ali, he was endangering himself for the sake of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam assured him that no harm would reach him. But the place where the futuwa comes out is that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam slipped away in the middle of the night, and he sprinkled, he reciting Surah Yasin, and nobody could see him, he left Sayyidina Ali and he made hijrah. What did he tell Sayyidina Ali to do? He amara Sayyidina Ali bi raddil wada'i. He commanded Sayyidina Ali to return the safekeeping deposits. So this is futuwa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is in a place where the tribes have all conspired to kill him. They've persecuted him. They've persecuted his followers. No, the people aren't, there's many people probably who could have stood up and supported him. They didn't support him. And they had entrusted their belongings to him. And because in those days, you didn't keep your valuables in a safe deposit box in a bank. You would entrust them with somebody else if you wanted to travel or something. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was known for his honesty. They would all entrust their belongings with him. He's leaving. His people have driven him out. So they're harming him. In this, there is ihtimalul adha. He is bearing the harm of other people, and he is responding with kindness and excellence, and he is returning the safekeeping deposits. And it's a time when his life is in danger. Anyone else would respond in spite. They would respond with a sense of vindictiveness. There's none of that in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's none of that in someone who has this quintessential Arabian characteristic of futuwa. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went with Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and he waited they hid in the cave for a while. For 3 days, and then they made their, and so, and then he came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and he to make hijrah during the day. And when Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he prepared, أَعَدَّ لِرَسُولِ لَهُمَا رَاحِلَتَيْنِ, he prepared two camels, and preparing for the hijrah, and he'd paid for the camel of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, this is your camel. This is what you are going to make hijrah on. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bal bithaman. He said, no, I'm going to pay the price. And he paid the price of his camel. And this too is a trait of futuwa. The Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he spent his life and his wealth and everything for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wanted to have the reward for the hijrah completely, and he did not rely on somebody else. And so part of futuwa is being self-reliant, not being dependent on other people. Self-reliant is problematic, because ultimately we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not on ourselves. So it's better to say that we rely on Allah, but we don't rely on other people. But that means that we take initiative. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did that when he insisted that he pay for his own camel. Then they left and they took a path, and along the way they stopped by at an old woman whose name was Ma'bad. And they stopped there, and she was an old woman, and she had futuwa. So she was somebody who had futuwa, because she would sit outside her house with her sheep and goats, and any travelers who would go by, she would give them something to drink. This is generosity. This is the karam of the ancient Arabians, and she was just sitting there. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stopped and he asked her, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr, they asked her if she had any meat and any milk for them. And she said that there's none of the animals, they have any milk. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because it was a time, the reason why, because it was a time of drought. So the animals didn't have any milk. And so the Prophet, and she said that wallahi law kana indana shay' ma a'wazakum al-qira. She said that if we had anything, I would have given it to you. I would have hosted you. فَنَظَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَى شَاتٍ فِي كِسَرِ الْخَيْمَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked at a sheep, a ewe, a female sheep in the corner of the tent of this Bedouin woman, and it was an old, emaciated, thin sheep, and it didn't have any. It was weak. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Hal biha min laban? Does it have any milk?" And she said, "Hiya ajhadu min dhalik." She said that she's too weak to give milk. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Atadhanina li an ahlibaha?" She said, "Do you give permission to me that I should milk it?" And she said, "Yes, go on." And she said, "Naam bi abi anta wa ummi." This is very interesting. She only meets the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the first time. She sees him, and she says to him, "Bi abi anta wa ummi." She says that may my mother, father, and mother be sacrificed for you. And this is because somebody who has futuwa, other people are attracted to them. And so she recognized this in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she said, "In ra'ita halaban," if you can take out any milk, you can do it. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he fada'a bishati fa'taqalaha. So this shows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he brought the sheep and he milked it. So he knew how to milk sheep, and he milked it himself. So he didn't tell Sayyidina Abu Bakr to milk it. With them was Abdullah ibn Fuhayra, who is the freed slave of Sayyidina Abu Bakr. He was serving them. He didn't tell him to milk it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his own two blessed hands, he milked it himself. This is a trait of futuwa, because he's not waiting to be served. And so he milked it, and this is one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, milk gushed forth out of it, and he called for a container, and he milked into it. فَحَلَبَ فِيهِ ثَجَّنْ. And he milked, and it gushed into the container. And he وَسَقَ الْقَوْمَ حَتَّى رَوَوْا وَسَقَ أُمَّ مَعْبَدْ حَتَّى رَوِيَتْ ثُمَّ شَرِبَ آخِرَهُمْ وَقَالَ سَاقِ الْقَوْمِ آخِرُهُمْ شُرْبًا. He milked it, and he gave milk to Sayyidina Abu Bakr to drink, and he gave milk to Abdullah ibn Fuhayra to drink, and he gave milk to their guide, Ibn al-Uraiqit, to drink, who wasn't a Muslim, and he was their guide. And he gave them all milk to drink. And then he filled it again, and he gave milk to Ma'bad to drink. And then right at the end, he drank himself. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one who gives other people something to drink is the last of them to drink. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so he drank last. This is futuwa. It's not he takes it all for himself, drinks it, and then leaves behind the scraps for everybody else. He gave everybody to drink, and it didn't end there. It didn't end there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did the same thing again. He gave everybody to drink, and he drank, and he was the last person to drink, and that wasn't it. He did it a third time, and he left it with her. And he said, "Irfa'i hada لأبي معبد إذا جاءك. He left Abu Ma'bad, her husband wasn't there. He left, he milked and he left something for Abu Ma'bad before he left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this is a beautiful, it's one of the most beautiful sections of the seerah, because then Abu Ma'bad came and he asked her to describe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she described him, and she described him very beautifully, and she said many, many things about him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she described his physical characteristics. Inshallah, I plan on today or tomorrow having a short explanation of the hadith of Ma'bad. Inshallah, you can watch that. But at the end, she said that lahu rufaqa, he has companions, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She described the Prophet. It says lahu rufaqa yahuffuna bihi, he has companions, they surround him. Idha qala istama'u li qawlihi, when he speaks, they all listen to him. وَإِذَا أَمَرَ تَبَادَرُوا لِأَمْرِهِ, when he commands, they all rush to serve him. And this is where does this come from? Why did this happen? This comes from the trait of futuwa. Futuwa is the attribute of leadership. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said al-a'immatu min Quraysh. He said that the leaders, the imams, are from Quraysh. And the fuqaha, they mention that the reason why Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Uthman, there's a reason why Quraysh, the leaders are from them, because they are aktharul arabi futuwatan, they are the greatest of the Arabs in futuwa, and this is the trait of leadership. And when somebody is like that to his followers, then this is how the followers respond. And so it naturally, but she said mahfudun mahshudun la abisun wala mufannid. Mahfudun mahshud, that means that he mahfud yani makhdum, he is served, and there are people around him. But she said la abis, he doesn't frown, wala mufannid, he doesn't frown, and he doesn't criticize other people. He doesn't frown and he doesn't criticize other people. So why is it that everybody is serving him? Why is it that everybody was drawn to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was because of his futuwa, and he did not impose himself on anyone sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't tell anybody, you must do this, you must show me respect, you must. Rather, he did the opposite. And one of the traits of futuwa is humility. One of the traits of futuwa is tawadu. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he arrived in Medina al-Munawwara, he arrived there, and the Medinans, they came looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most of them had never seen him before, and they were waiting. And when they came, when he arrived, they couldn't recognize who he was. Sayyidina Abu Bakr was there and the Prophet was there, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't know who was who. Because the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't carry himself like a king. He didn't carry himself like. So the books of Sirah, they say, فَقَامَ أَبُو بَكَرَ لِلنَّاسِ يَتَلَقَّاهُمْ. Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he stood up. When he arrived, they're saying, welcome, أَهْلًا وَسَهْلًا. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he stood and he met the people. وَجَلَسَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ صَامِتًا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sat quietly. He didn't say, here I am, the messenger of God, the most beloved of Allah, of everything that he has ever created. He said, فَطَفِقَ مَنْ جَاءَ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ مِمَّنْ لَمْ يَرَى رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَلَمْ يَعْرِفُهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ يُحَيِّ أَبَا بَكْرٍ. And so the Ansar, they came, among them who they hadn't seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before, they came and they thought Abu Bakr was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, "Ahlan wa sahlan ya Rasulullah, hatta asabat ash-shamsu Rasul." And the Prophet didn't say anything, and Abu Bakr didn't say anything, until حتى أصابت الشمس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, until the sun came over the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, فأقبل أبو بكر حتى ظلل عليه بردائه. And Sayyidina Abu Bakr went and he shaded the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with his upper garment, and then everybody recognized that it was that was the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this is also from the character traits of Futuwa. It's somebody with Futuwa doesn't demand anything from anyone, but he gives. And when he gives, then people, and to the extent that he gives, and to the extent that he's characterized by this attribute, people are drawn to him, and he becomes somebody who is who leads people, but not because he wants to lead them, but because he is serving them. And this is an illustration or an explanation of the Prophet's hadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said sayyidun nasi khadimuhum. So that is the trait of futuwa, inshallah.
Masha'Allah. الحديث عنهم فتوة صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أصحابه الكرام. ما شاء الله ما شاء الله.
So I won't be able to answer all of the questions, mashallah. So I'll select some. So I'll start with this last one. What would you recommend for us to do in celebrating the birth of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his futuwa, specifically in our treatment of either those who wronged us or anyone who may have been wronged? سؤال يعني هو بمناسبة مولد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, ما نصيحتكم في الاحتفال بمولده وبفتوته؟ كيف نحتفل بفتوته صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ يعني خصوصا في المعاملة مع من ظلموا أو مع من قد ظلمنا نحن إذا حصل منا ظلم لأحد.
إذا حصل منا ظلم لأحد نستبرئه ونطلب منه أن يبرئنا من تلك المظلمة بأي ثمن كان. وهذا في السيرة عندما جاء الأعرابي وطلب الدين الذي كان على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في غير وقته, وأخذ بتلابيب سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, فقال يا بني هاشم أنتم قوم مطل. فجاء سيدنا عمر وأراد أن يبطش به, فقال يا عمر ألا أمرته بحسن الطلب وأمرتني بحسن الأداء, أعطه حقه وزده لأنك روعته.
So he said that the second part of this question is what should we do if we may have wronged somebody. He said if we've wronged somebody, we should seek them to excuse us and forgive us at any price, for any amount, any price that one might have to pay. And this an example of that from the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the event that we saw last week, when a Bedouin came and he grabbed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his collar, and he pulled it and he said to him, descendants of Abdul Muttalib are a people who don't pay back their debts. And so he insulted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Umar, he became upset, and the Bedouin became frightened. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sayyidina Umar, he said that why he stopped him. He said, why didn't you tell him, why didn't you command me to pay him back and command the Bedouin to ask me well? And he'd come before the debt was due. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then repaid him, and then he gave him extra. He gave him more because Sayyidina Umar had scared him. So this is an example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't wrong this other person, but he was associated with Sayyidina Umar. And so in order to gain his acceptance and his forgiveness, he paid him back more.
وفي من ظلمنا الفتوة بالصفح والعفو. قالوا سيدنا يوسف لا تثريب عليكم. وقول سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اذهبوا أنتم الطلقاء.
He said, and futuwa with respect to those who have wronged us is to forgive them. And the Sayyidina Yusuf, he said to his brothers, after they had tried to kill him and thrown him into a well, he said that there's no blame on you today. He forgave them all. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Fath Makkah, he said to the ancient Arabians, he said, you are free. And after all of the harm that they had shown him.
هل يتصور إذاء حصل لأحد كإذاء قريش لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ هل يتصور؟
هل يتصور؟
ماذا؟ طيب ماذا كانت الفتوة؟
He said, can you imagine someone harming anyone the way that Quraysh harmed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And if we read the seerah, the answer to that has to be no. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he suffered harm greater than any harm that any of us can experience. So we participate in that with him. And if we are harmed, we remember that he was harmed more. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his futuwa was that he forgave them.
من الفتوة اثنتين لا تذكرهما إحسانك إلى الناس وإساءة الناس إليك.
He says, from futuwa is there's a wise saying, and this wise saying is that it's that there's two things that you never talk about. The good that you've done to other people, and the bad that other people have done to you, the harm that other people have shown to you. So if a person of futuwa, he doesn't talk about the good things that he does to other people, nor does he talk about the bad things that other people have done to him. So I had a question that I wanted to ask. I'll ask that question. So my question is, how do we teach our children the trait of futuwa? So كيف نعلم أولادنا خلق الفتوة؟
بقراءة السيرة. لا يوجد أقوى من هذا تحفيزاً وتشجيعاً بقراءة السيرة ووضع الشاهد عند مفاصل السيرة في الفتوة.
He said that the way to teach our children this character trait is to read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then pausing at the various parts of the seerah of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that illustrate the character trait of futuwa.
وتشجيعهم في فعل الخير وطلب تكليفهم في أمور يعني أكبر من سنهم حتى يكونون يعني في عندهم هذا الخلق يعني أن تكلفهم في شيء في بحث عن شيء في خدمة خلق الله في يعني أنتم يمارسون خلق الفتوة عمليا يعني أنا لو مثلا لو رأيت وأنت تمشي مع ابنك رجلا عجوزا أو امرأة تحمل شيء تبادر وتقول لابنك خذ من يده أعنه أوصل له حاجته افعل كذا هذا تعلمه فعليا هذا الخلق.
So he says that you, by encouraging them and by having them do things that are above their treating them as adults and giving them responsibilities and then demonstrating this trait to them. So for example, if you're walking down the street and you see an old man or an old woman and she's carrying something, then you tell your child to go and help them. And maybe you help as well to demonstrate this character trait to them.
أما الاحتفاء بمولد الحبيب صلى الله عليه وسلم فيجب أن يكون هناك معاهدة في هذا قدوم هذا الشهر المبارك على أننا لا يفوتنا أمر إلا ونتحرى به السنة المطهرة من حركة وسكون وذهاب وإياب وأكل وشرب وإلى ما هنالك فنجدد العهد مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بإقامة سنته في أنفسنا وفي أهلنا.
He said that in this blessed month of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we celebrate it. Part of celebrating it is that we renew our covenant with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we live his example, his sunnah, in our lives, in the way we eat, in the way we drink, in the way we walk, in the way we treat other people. So we learn how he was and we strive to be that way. And so he's saying that this is, we renew it and we make a covenant and we do this as we remember the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
لا يخفى فضيلة الفرح برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بمولده بإقامة الاحتفالات وغيرها والطعام والشراب وكذا وكذا لكن أميز منه وأفضل منه أو أن يقترن به هو أن نكون على سنته صلى الله عليه وسلم على قدمه الشريف صلى الله عليه وسلم في الأخذ والعطاء والمنشط والمكره.
So there's it's clear that to be happy at his birth and to sing songs to celebrate his birth and to feed other people out of celebrating his birth is a great good deed. But better than that, and perhaps something that can be conjoined with it, is that we walk, we place our feet where he placed his feet. In other words, we live as he lived his life. We follow his sunnah in our lives. So there's a number of questions here. They're good questions. I'll take them one at a time. How does one reconcile between recommendation that Muslims should not get hurt twice in Futuwa. كيف نجمع بين لا يلدغ المؤمن من جحر مرتين وبين خلق الفتوى؟
ما في تعارض بينهما. أين التعارض؟ إذا أخذت حذرك من أن تلدغ لكن عفوت وصفحت، ما في تعارض بينهما. أين التعارض؟ من أين جاءت شبهة التعارض؟
كأنه يعني هل من الفتوة أن نعرض نفسه للدغ؟ يعني هو يعني احتمال الأذى يعني نستقبله؟
لا هو لا يعرض نفسه، لكن إذا وقع به هنا يظهر المعدن. متى يظهر معدن الرجال؟ يعني الرجال هذا يشمل الجنس الآدمي ذكورا وإناثا. متى يظهر معدن الرجال؟ في الأزمات، لا تظهر المعادن إلا بعد عرضها على النار. لا يصبح الذهب ذهبا حتى يعرض على النار. وهذا يعني ما يقع يعني للإنسان من جلاليات هذه لكشف معدنه.
So question, how does one reconcile between the recommendation that Muslims should not get hurt twice, that he's not stung, a believer is not stung from the same lair twice, and between futuwa? So this, Sibumir asked, he said that, where's the contradiction? So I said that it seems that it's part of futuwa that one bears the harm of other people. And so that seems to imply that one exposes oneself to getting harmed. He said, no, that's not the case. That we don't expose ourselves to harm. So if there's expected harm, we take precautions and we avoid getting harmed. But if the harm happens, then we have futuwa. Then we forgive, and we respond in we bear the harm. And he said that this harm and difficulty is where manhood appears. And what's meant by manhood is not being a man, but it's the quality of humanness that both men and women share. It's about being a great person. This only happens when there's difficulties and there's harm and there's adversity. That's where the praiseworthy qualities of human beings, of manhood, this is where it shines. And so it's that's where futuwa comes, and it's needed for this. There's another question. Can you differentiate between cowardice and futuwa in the process of being taken advantage at work? هل ما الفرق بين الفتوة والجبن في فمثلا في العمل يوجد من يهدد الناس مثلا أو يهددني أو يفعل يعني يتصرف تصرف الظالم فكيف ما الفارق بين الجبن والفتوة؟
شيء متناقض جدا. الجبن لا يمكن أن يكون الجبان عنده خلق الفتوة، لا يمكن، لا يجتمعان الفتوة لا. والجبن لا تجتمعان.
نعم. فإذا كان هناك شخص يعني طبيعته هكذا يعني في العمل مثلا يعني يبغي على الناس ويخاطب الناس هكذا فخاطبني فهنا ليس من الفتوة أن أحتمل بل من الفتوة أن أنهاه مثلا.
إذا كان يسيء إلى نفسك أنت فتحملك منه مكرمة، أما إذا كنت
ما فهم سيدي إذا ملك ملوك ملوك ملكة
منها مكروه إذا كان يتهمك أنت
نعم
ويسيء إليك إلى شخصك أنت
نعم
فتجاهلك لهذا مكرمة ليس هذا وقد يكون فيه فتوة
نعم.
نعم. أما إذا كان يسيء إلى الغير واستطعت أن تفعل شيئا لنصرته فهذه فتوة مثال ذلك تفضل.
So he said, so I gave the example of somebody at work who is aggressive and a bully at work, and he treats other people in this way. And so what's the difference between being a coward and having futuwa? Because part of futuwa is that you bear patiently with the harm of other people. So he said that if his aggression is targeted against you, and he says, insults you, says things about you, then for you to be patient is something that is it's a virtue. But if it's targeted against someone else, now to be silent, this is cowardice, because it's part of futuwa to help other people. And he's going to give an example.
سيدنا شيخ عبد الرحمن رحمة الله عليه كان يعني نقيبا للعمال وتقلد كثير من المناصب. يعني من أن بدأ العمل وهو صغير إلى أن يعني أصبح رئيسا للعمال، لكن في هذه المراحل كلها كان مدافعا عن حقوق العمال. في فترة من الفترات أصحاب العمل أرادوا تنقيص الأجور لعمالهم، واعترض العمال على ذلك، فقالوا لهم أرباب العمل: إذا لم تقبلوا وأضربتم عن العمل سوف تعيشون يوم اثنين ثلاثة أربعة ثم تموتون من الجوع، أما نحن عندنا من المال ما يكفينا سنين. فسمع الشيخ هذا القول فقال.
He said that he gave the example from the life of Sheikh Abdul Rahman, the teacher of Sayyidina Abu Munir. He said that he was somebody who defended the rights of workers, defended workers' rights. So factory workers who and he would stand up for their rights. And so when the owners of the factories they reduced their pay. In other words, they said, we're not going to pay you what we agreed to pay you. And the factory workers, they said, okay, then we're going to go on strike. And the owners of the factories, they said, go ahead, because you can go on strike for 2 or 3 days. And then after that, you'll die of hunger. We'll outweigh you. As for us, we have enough money to last us for a long time. We can live for years. So if you want to strike, go ahead.
يهددني يقول الشيخ يقول الشيخ يهددني يعني رب العمل يهددني أني إذا صرت مضربا أموت من الجوع المبرح والعطش.
So the Prophet, the Sayyidina Shaykh Abdul Rahman, he said in his Diwan, he said that he threatens me that if I go on strike, then I will die of hunger and thirst.
حنانا لموت أبلغ بعده المنى ولا أسمع القول البذيء وبيطرش.
طرش ما معنى طرش سيدي؟
طرش عدم صمم؟ السمع صمم.
حنانا
لموت بعده أبلغ المنى.
نعم. He said
ولا أسمع القول البذيء وبي طرش.
نعم. So he said that what a wonderful thing it is to die, and I thereby reach my goal, and I won't even listen to vile and despicable speech, and I am deaf to it. فأين الشاهد هنا سيدي؟
أنه عندما انتقص من رواتب العمال قام الشيخ مدافعا عن حقوقهم وأظهر غاية الشجاعة في مقارعة أرباب العمل وشكل إضرابا عن العمل دام كذا وكذا من الأيام وقت طويل عنه.
That was poetry he wrote, and so he said that what it illustrates is that when other people were being wronged, he had bravery and he stood up for their rights and he spoke up against the wealthy owners of factories and he organized the strike and he struggled to get their rights. يقول criticism is part of being in the position of people working for you. How should one practice in that situation? He said, لو كنت مديرا فمن مسؤوليات المدير يعني سوف يكون هناك نقص من العمال. فلا يعني لا يستطيع أن يغض النظر عن هذا لأنه لابد أن يطالبهم بها. فكيف الفتوة هنا؟
الفتوة أن توجد في مفاصل العمل بديل، يعني أنت تتوقع بيوم من الأيام أن لا يكون هناك مجيء لهذا العامل أو هذا الموظف الذي ربما بغيابه يتعطل جزء من العمل أو يكون في ضرر في عدم مجيئه. من الفتوة أن تهيئ هذا قبل حصوله بأن تجد من الموظفين من عنده هذه الهمة لأن يغطي عجز المتغيب عن العمل، وهذا حصل في مجالنا في العمل كثيرا. دائما المفاصل الحساسة التي في العمل دائما يوجد بديل ما لا يعلم، هو مجهز جاهز في حال احتج إليه سد مكانه من غير خلل.
No.
لا يظهر الخلل أبدا.
So Sidi Munir has experience. He works as a manager. So he says that what one does is one anticipates. So the way that I asked the question, I said that there are workers who don't do what they're supposed to do. They're deficient. And so one cannot, in a position of being a manager, simply overlook their faults. So what does one do? He says that one, you're proactive. And so you anticipate the situation by having someone ready to take their place if they fall short, or if they're unable, or if they're absent. And particularly in sensitive jobs that are very dependent. And so if somebody is deficient, then you have an option already available to cover that fault. And so you don't need to fall into a position of criticism and demanding with this person that might betray a lack of futuwa. Yeah. آخر سؤال سيدي. How does the concept of self-esteem tie in with futuwa? Is that just a Western concept? يوجد يعني الثقة بالنفس. فيقولون يعني يعني بعض الناس ليس عندهم الثقة بالنفس، فيعني شخصيتهم ضعيفة. فهل الثقة بالنفس له علاقة بخلق الفتوة، أو هذا يعني عندما نقول الثقة بالنفس هذا شيء يعني ليس له يعني يعني أو ليس له تعلق بالفتوة؟
لا، له تعلق، له تعلق. يقول الشيخ عبد الرحمن، يقول: وجهت وجهي للمعالي أجوبها، وحبل كذا، نسيت الكلمة، عندي متين، حبل مثلا القوة والصرامة، عندي متين، ولي قدرة جزئية قد منحتها، أقول للشيء كن فيكون.
ممكن يعني تشرح يعني كيف يعني كن فيكون، يعني هذا ثقة بالنفس يعني؟
يعني هو يعني يعني لتوكله على الله سبحانه وتعالى، ومطالبته لنفسه بالإتيان يعني بالشيء على أكمله وأكمل وجه له، خرج منه هكذا، هذه الأبيات خرجت منه، لكنه مزقها بعدها، مزقها لأنها لها علاقة بالعقيدة. يعني كونه هو أشعري، والقول بالقدرة الجزئية مذهب السادة الماتريدية رضي الله عنهم، فقال يعني قال: وجهت وجهي للمعالي أجوبها، يعني صار عنده مطمع أن يعمل كل ما يعني كل شيء، ويدخل في كل شيء، ما هو تعلم النسيج وتعلم مكنسيان الآلات يعني من لا شيء، من غير معلم، بس فقط رأى الخبراء يفعلون، فهذا لا يستطيع أن يفعله إلا فتى.
نعم.
فهو عندما رأى هذا، ويخرج الخبير الذي أتوا به من فرنسا، من سويسرا، من كذا، بعد أن يخرج الشيخ يفك يفك هذا النول الضخم تبع النسيج، يفكه عن بكرة أبيه، ثم يعيد تركيبه حتى يعرف أنه قد أتقن هذا العمل. مرة هذا بده شجاعة، بده فتوة، بده يعني أنت كيف تجعل هذا المكنة التي تنتج بعد أن جاء الخبير من آخر الدنيا ودفع له المبالغ الضخمة وأصلح هذا النول، لكن كانت عينه لا تفارق ذلك الخبير، فطبع كل ذلك في ذاكرته. فعندما خرج الخبير فك هذا النول كله وأعاد تركيبه مرة بعد مرة، أصبح الأمر لا يحتاج إلى أن يأتوا بخبير من الخارج، فهو أصبح هو الذي يصلح الآلات إذا خربت وكذا وكذا وكذا. فهذا بده شجاعة، بده فتوة، بده يعني إقدام. فمثل هذه في أموره كلها، يقول: وجهت وجهي للمعالي، يعني عامل النسيج يختلف عن مكنسيان، عن الخبير، وين هذا وأين هذا. يقول: وجهت وجهي للمعالي أجوبها، وحبل كذا عندي متين، ولي قدرة جزئية قد منحتها، أقول بها للشيء كن فيكون. هذا فيه الشاهد، فيه الاعتماد على أو الثقة بالنفس أن يكون يقوي الإنسان ثقته بنفسه ويعتمد على الله سبحانه وتعالى.
So the answer is self-esteem. So self-esteem is not a Western concept. So self-esteem, the way that I translated it was self-confidence, having confidence in one's ability to do things. So he said that Sheikh Abdul Rahman, he has two lines of poetry. And in these lines of poetry, he says that I turned my attention to great things that I would accomplish, and I have the ability to accomplish them. And he said that I have, and the second half of it is you need to be have some theology to understand the joke there. There's a disagreement between the Ash'aris and the Maturidis on the free will, and so he has a play on those words, and he speaks as a Maturidi, and he says that I have been given an ability through which I say to things be and they are. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me an ability, and I turn my attention to great things, and great things they get done. He said that later on he tore it up because of the allusion to the Maturidi, although they're it's Ahl Sunnah, they're Orthodox Sunni Muslims. And then he gave examples from the life of Sheikh Abdul Rahman. He didn't know how to read. He was born illiterate. He taught himself how to read. He didn't have a job. He taught himself how to sew. He worked in the factory. He climbed the ranks in the factory because of his self-confidence. They would bring someone to repair the machines of the clothing factories, and they would pay large amounts of money to a foreign technician to come and repair the machines. He watched the technician once. He figured out how it's done. He practiced. He took the machines apart, put them back together again. He learned how to do it. They didn't need to bring any technicians anymore. So this shows that he had self-confidence. And so having self-confidence and going ahead and doing things, this is part of futuwa. It's part of having this trait of chivalry. And one has this, and side by side with this trait, one relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no conflict between the two. So one has this trait, and one relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah.
جزاكم خيرًا. حتى تعلم حتى تعليمه القراءة مثلاً كيف أخذها من الأولاد في الطريق يوقفهم يقول ماذا تقولون في المدرسة؟ ألف لا شيء عليها، باء نقطة من تحتها، شو هذا يعني؟ فيقولون له يعني ألف يعني هذا، باء يعني هذا. فتعلم الأحرف، هذه بدها فتوة، بدها 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 أقدام، بدها وأصبح في اللغة لا يجاريه علماء اللغة. ومن يعرف الديوان يعرف أنه يعني أتى بغرائب اللغة في ديوانه من غير معلم. لم يتعلم القراءة والكتابة إلا من الأولاد.
He didn't go to school, Sheikh Abdul Rahman, and he would be working. And the other children, they would go to school, they would learn the alphabet, and they would come and they would be repeating their lesson. And they would say, Alif. He said, what's Alif? And they would kind of draw it out, and he would memorize it. He says, what's Ba? And they would draw it out, he would memorize it. And just by talking to the students who were coming out of this class, he learned how to read or write. And he continued learning until he became a poet. And he came to be better in the Arabic language than scholars of the Arabic language. And anyone who reads his collection of poetry will can see that he has. It's very eloquent. Inshallah. Inshallah. So we will. Inshallah. نقف هنا سيدي إن شاء الله.
أنتم بخير إن شاء الله.
We'll stop here, inshallah.
Mubarakun fiikum, yahfazkum, inshallah.
Sidi Muhammad, assalamu alaikum, inshallah. I will, inshallah, I owe you a message. I'll send you a message right now, inshallah. Thank you, everybody. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والعصر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
صلي وسلم ربي وأنعم على المعلم نور العيون.